If you are a businesswoman working to amplify your 6- and 7-figure business from success to significance, then you know it's not just about the right strategies or the right tactics. It's more and more about high caliber people around you, your team, your collaborators, and advisors that can open doors for you and widen your reach. Welcome to Your Circle of Influence podcast with your hosts, Dr. Monica Ogando and Amy Walker.
Welcome back to Your Circle of Influence podcast. I am your co-host, Amy Walker, and I'm here with the amazing
Dr. Monica Ogando.
Today, we're talking about the 3 D's and how you protect your business from divorce, from death, and from disability. Monica, I know this is definitely in your wheelhouse. She is a queen of the financial strategy. It's not as much in my wheelhouse. So when we look at this episode, there's kind of 3 things that I would like to talk through. Okay. So the first is, what are the tactical things that we need to do to make sure that we're prepared legally? Mm-hmm. The second is, what are the strategic things that we need to do to make sure that our business can actually still thrive when those things are going on? And then the third thing I think we should talk about is, what are the personal things we should be doing so that these events, while devastating, don't break us?
Yeah.
So I will have more to add on the second two. I have nothing on the first. So
The disclaimer is that my background is as a financial planner, not an attorney and not an accountant. However, I have worked with plenty attorneys and accountants in this regard because of my background as a financial planner and as a stockbroker. So from a legal perspective, you want to make sure that you have all of your corporate documents updated, right? So if you haven't, I hate that I have to even say this, but if you haven't incorporated yet, please, what are you waiting for? I want you to separate your personal assets from your business assets. And in as much as you can actually create a trust or a corporation from your name too. It could be Monica Ogando LLC. It could be Amy Walker LLC. And that could, instead of it being like your light bill in your name, it could be in the name of Amy Walker LLC, which is a corporation, right? So you want to create as much separation as possible so that these things will be easier to manage, easier to hand off, and less subject to tax penalties, probate, court, and all that other stuff. And also, if in the unlikely but unfortunate event, if somebody sues you, they can't come after your personal assets because they're not personal assets. They belong to a trust or they belong to a corporation. So that's the first thing that I want to say, separation from church and state, as it will. And you want to make sure that you consult your attorney so that you know that you have the proper documentation in place, whether it's your articles of organization for an LLC, articles of incorporation for an S corp or a C corp or any other kind of partnership, partnership agreements if you're going into business with somebody else, so that you delineate who's responsible for what and how do you extract yourself from the partnership should that ever happen. How do you buy yourselves out, buyout agreements with your partners as well? Because if, for example, you are personally involved in a business with a partner who's also personally involved and you happen to die, then whoever handles your estate will then be in your place legally to then be the partner to this, the surviving partner. And sometimes those things don't go well. So you want to make sure that you have succession plans, buyout agreements so that you can buy, your children can get bought out and get your share of the business and so forth. And also standard operating procedures, such that, just like if you were an employee and you had a W-2, in the same way that they have short-term and long-term disability plans and insurance and so forth, so that if you're out for parental leave, for FMLA or whatever, that you get a certain amount of compensation for that, you want to insert those same processes and procedures in your business as well, take your business seriously and put those things in place as soon as you can. If you cannot afford a lawyer to do it for you, listen, we live in the century of YouTube University. And I am not saying get your legal advice from YouTube University. I'm saying use it for your research. Use it to get started. Look at templates. Create your own stuff so that by the time that you come to a lawyer's office, you're not paying them $300 an hour to do what you could have downloaded from, nolo.com, right? And so in that way, you're actually helping yourself get more done for less resources. The second thing that I'm going to say, well, the third thing actually, because I just said the succession plan and the SOPs, having your paperwork in place, is to also create what I like to call an ICE folder. ICE is an acronym that stands for In Case of Emergency. So if there's an emergency that you can't be reached, or that you are somehow in a coma or death, dismemberment, disability, anything that incapacitates you from just handling business as you normally would, who's the next to be called in the emergency tree, right? Phone tree. Who can take over? Or who now has to make XYZ decisions? And perhaps not all decisions fall under one person. Maybe my sister makes medical decisions, or my lawyer or my accountant makes the financial decisions, or my husband makes these kinds of decisions, and so forth. You can actually distribute it in that way and stipulate how you would like to move in that way, and instruct the people that you're putting in place so that they don't get broadsided with, like, oh, what do we do now? Well, she left this piece of paper. It's like, I didn't even know. You want to have those kinds of conversations so that people know, when
In
all.
my case, they'd be like, "What? You want me to have five kids?"
Yes, exactly. Yeah, don't drop that off on me.
I didn't know that was coming. Monica, just so you know, you're going to take my kids if I die.
I understand completely. And Brandon's first. Brandon's gonna tell me where the snacks are hidden. I already know.
That's cute.
Yes. Now, from a strategy point, in the case of death or disability, or dismemberment, or even divorce, I mean, it's hard to get to strategy without going through the emotional aspect of it first, right? Because a lot of these things, the reason why we are sometimes impaired in our productivity or in our effectiveness as a leader is because of the emotional stuff that happens when you have a death in the family, or when you're going through a divorce, or if you've been disabled in some way. Some disabilities are not visible. And so it's even harder to deal with some of those disabilities than it would if it's like, oh, you're an amputee. Like, it's visible to everybody that you lost a leg, or you lost a limb, or whatever the case may be. And so you want to deal with the emotional aspect of it first. Clearly, get very clear about who your support system is. Not should be, but who your support system is. There are people that you have in place that have titles, such as brother or sister or best friend or business partner or blah, 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 that when the chips are down, that's not who they are, right? They're not a sister. They're a leech, or they're not a business partner. They're a judgment machine, or whatever the case may be. So just be very clear about what your support system is. And if it's not as you want it to be, then do make the requests, or put people in places where they need to be, so that when things happen, everybody knows where they need to go. And then for yourself, getting that support in terms of having someone to talk to, whether it be your best friend, whether it be a therapist, whether it be a pastor or a priest, whether it be your journal even. One of the it's been in my personal life, I have personally journaled, used a journal since I was about 12 years old, and it's been a very, very important way that I metabolize my life, that I digest, that I process, that I make plans, that I work out my own contradictions and so forth. I have had two instances in my life where someone violated the privacy and the sacred honor of those journals. And that relationship was irretrievably broken because of that trust, right? And part of it was because they didn't understand how big my journals are to me. And then the other part was because they were looking for information that they weren't privy to, and they wanted to get it so that they can weaponize it against me, right? And so understanding that, like, you just want to meet people where they are, and you don't want to cause yourself more undue stress. It's already hurtful enough. It's already sad enough when, a marriage ends in divorce, or when you no longer have dad or mom or whoever passed away in your life, et cetera. You're already dealing with grief and a sense of loss. Don't make it worse by then villainizing people, right? Endings do not have to, you don't have to villainize people in order to end the relationship or in order to extract yourself from a situation. People are, I firmly believe that people are doing the best that they can with what they know. If they
I
knew, if
agree.
they had better tools, they would use different tools.
Well, and that's your one of your principles is like assume the assumption is that you have the best intentions,
Right.
right? You might assume your intentions are good and you're doing the best that you can. I want to circle back just a little bit to getting your business ready for this because there is a shocking percentage of business owners out there who, if you could no longer run your company would have to close its doors. That's the part that is within our control, because death is not in our control. Disability is not in our control. Divorce is oftentimes not even in our control. I mean, we can influence it, but there's two people involved, and if someone doesn't want to be married, you can't force them. But the part that we can have within our control is making sure that our business could continue to function with somebody else at the helm. And there's a few specific areas with that. One of them is processes. One of them is systems. The other one is distribution of work and cross training of processes. So there shouldn't be anything in your company that you are the only one that can do. And sometimes there's this sense of self-importance that comes with that, like, oh, they need me for this. Nobody else could make YouTube videos for my channel. Well, Monica has done most of this episode on her own, right? Like, contributed very little. So obviously that's not true. So I just want to challenge you in every area of your business where you're like, I'm the only one who can. The clients wouldn't accept if anyone else did. I want you to challenge that because in reality, what you're doing by holding on to so much is you're creating vulnerability and making a company that is not sellable or transferable or runnable by anyone else should you pass away. If I were to die,
True.
currently, there's no one in my family that would want to run this company. Even Steven, who runs half the company, I don't think he would want to do it on his own, to be honest. I think it would be like to
I'll help you,
he
Stephen.
he might get maybe a little farther away from like my void, you know what I mean, and pursue something else. So I don't know that he would. I don't, maybe he'd surprise me. I don't think he would. None of my kids want to run it, and so we have to make sure that the company is worth taking to somebody else and saying, what would you like to buy this for? Because that's right now I provide for my family because I'm here. That's how I provide for my family if I'm gone. Now also, though, when you do that, if you are going through a divorce or you are going through a death in the family or something where you're not able to work, but you're still here, your business needs to be able to give you space to be a human being
Absolutely.
and to have time to grieve and to have time to heal and to have time to not be at your best because it is impossible to expect you to be at your best in those circumstances. And all those same things that make your business sellable or transferring ownership and management to somebody else, all of those same things will also support you when you need some downtime and you need to be able to take a step away. And Monica, I saw you do that when you were going through the year where your dad was passing away. Like you were very much on call for family, but you had set up your business in a way that it could still pay you while you were not working, which I thought was just like, I mean, let's make a hard time easier.
Yeah, exactly. And it also creates, it frees you up from this conflict, this internal conflict that we have. Sometimes we, when we're at family functions or dealing with family stuff, there's a part of us that feels guilty and it's like, ah, I should be working on this and I didn't send that email or I didn't get this done or blah, blah, blah. So you're not really fully present here because part of your brain is in business. And then when you're in business, you're like, oh, I'm missing the soccer game or I'm missing this or I should prepare funeral events and I should really help my mom with blah, 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 blah. So you're not fully here either. And so
Right.
putting these SOPs in place and plans and strategies and knowing who to delegate to and who's doing what is helpful for, think about you being an eternal human being, right? Some of the things that you're dealing with now is something that past you created, and you're dealing with the lagging indicators of your successes or failures. But then there's stuff that you're doing today that your future self will thank you for. Amy and I joke about this all the time. It's like, I love it that, we did something that, future Monica or future Amy is going to thank us for, that we really set them up for success. So you want to do that for your legacy and your business as well.
Yes. So, this is one of those episodes that whenever I hear them, I'm like, I should. I just want to encourage you to pick one thing that you'll do, any, and then pick another after that and another after that, because you don't have to get it all there at once. In fact, it's not really possible to do it all at once, but you can take one thing. So
Yes.
what does that look like for you? What's your one thing that you're going to do to move your business, your company, yourself to a higher level of security, just in case things do not go according to plan A?
I have three suggestions of places to
Okay.
get started. If you are starting from absolute scratch and you have no idea where to start, here's where I would recommend that you start. I want you to create, like I said, in the incorporation or the trust papers that you need, start there. The second thing is to create your power of attorney documents, whether it's your health or medical power of attorney, like who's going to make decisions about life support, what to do when you're in a coma, resuscitate, do not resuscitate, all of those things that are in that power of attorney for your medical directive. Financial directive as well. Who's going to make financial decisions if you're incapacitated? Who has permission, who has account access, et cetera. Create that document, have that signed and notarized, and inform the people that are relevant to those decisions. And then, of course, end of life stuff. So if you were to die, what are the funeral arrangements or cremation arrangements, or who's going to take over this, and who's the lawyer that's handling last will and testament, pour over will. The pour over will is the stuff that didn't fit in the last will and testament. What's left over? Okay, the pour over will handle it. And all of those things can happen when you have your estate plan in order. I highly, highly recommend that you do your research first, some primary surface research for those three things, your POA, your last will and testament, and your pour over will. And then bring that to an estate planning attorney so that they can support you in creating it in a way that works for your specific situation. And that way you cut down on how much it's going to cost too, because you've already done a lot of the legwork. So that's a great place to get started.
Good advice. All right, my friends, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of your Circle of Influence podcast. Make sure that you connect with us. I'm at Amy Walker Coach on Instagram. Monica's at Monica Ogando, and we love hearing from you. So subscribe, leave us a comment, leave us a review, and we can't wait to see you again next time. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.